Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. This is Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble at your service. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you can find a lot of good things there that will help you to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. One of the things that's going on right now is we're about to visit with one of my heroes, Governor Pete DuPont. And he's always, whenever he joins us, he always helps us have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Governor DuPont is a former governor of the great state of Delaware, former representative of the House of Representatives from that great state, former presidential candidate, and one of the smartest guys I know and a great American. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Gosh, Jim, that's a pretty nice introduction. I should listen to that more often. Well, a lot of times I get a different opinion.
Well, you've earned all of those and the admiration as well. And also, folks, he's also the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, which is a very important current job that you have. And I admire you for the work that you do there at the NCPA, Governor. Let's talk for a little bit about the economy. What are your thoughts on, as we sit here near the end of 2005, what are your general thoughts on the U.S. economy?
Well, it is terrific. It is stronger than it's been in a long while. It's been strong for several years now, and we'll come back to this in a minute. The amazing thing is when you read your press, watch your television, you don't hear a lot about it.
Why is that?
Well, you know, we were talking a minute ago. I think the media is less interested in reporting the facts and more interested in pushing their agenda. Let's come back to that. But as for the economy, we've had 10 consecutive quarters now of greater than 4% economic growth. And that's a very strong economy.
That's an expansion, isn't it?
That is an expansion. The number of jobs is increasing. The economy is just doing extraordinarily well. And the reason, of course, is the tax cuts, because when you reduce taxes, money goes into the economy and new companies are formed, new jobs are created.
Let me just tick down a few of the high points of this economy, Governor.
Mm-hmm.
1.8 million jobs created in 2005.
Right.
Projection of 2 million is projected to be created in 2006. Unemployment is hovering at 5%, which is many economists I talk to say that they consider that to be full employment. The gross domestic product in 2005 is going to be a very robust 3.5 plus maybe percent. That's more than 2%. Over, that's like 60% more than the European Union, and the stock market is going crazy. We got all this good news. Why isn't the press, proclaiming this instead of some of the dour stuff we're getting?
Well, I think I would use the Dan Rather example of his reporting of false information in the Bush campaign. I would use him as kind of the example. The press is interested today in pushing an agenda. Now, different media outlets, different papers, different television stations have different agendas, but they seem to be pushing an agenda rather than trying to get us information. Now, you do get information on what the hockey scores were last night and prediction, who's going to win the football games on Sunday, but you don't get that when it comes to public policy. You tend to get spin. And I think that's one of the reasons that newspaper readership is declining across the country. People are going to the Internet, where you can get a whole lot of information, a little more difficult to sort it out.
Right.
But you get a whole lot of information. And
if you're hungry for the full impact, the full news, you've got to really shop around these days, don't you?
Well, Well, you really do. I mean, Fox does the best job, I think, on television news in presenting both sides. You watch the evening news there, and you see.
But even Fox, Governor, will do things like cut away from an important public policy debate that they might be having, to covering somebody who's trying to run away from the police in Sheboygan or somewhere. I have a friend who's a talking head, and he was in the green room waiting to go on to talk with somebody else on the other side of the issue about something that was pretty important, and they never got on because they started covering a building on fire in Toledo.
Well, you know, the press does do. Of course, you sell papers when you run good pictures of problems. And,
well, you know what? You know what they say. You know what they say, Governor. In the news these days, the watchword is, "If it bleeds, it leads."
Hold on to that thought.
It's not like that on the Small Business Advocate Show. We talk about important things here on this show. 20 till right back with a very important person, Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Robert Cray on blues. Blues guitar and vocals in the background there. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and we're talking about the economy and why it isn't getting better press. Governor, what do you think has given rise to this economy? Think about the hits the economy has taken. It seems like year after year, there's some kind of negative thing going on. The hurricanes this year, the gas prices. We still people are anxious about Iraq, but yet the economy has momentum. It's not just doing okay. It has momentum. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think the momentum comes from the tax cuts that have been enacted. You know, one of the great economic truths that the liberal press doesn't like, and a lot of politicians don't like, when you reduce taxes, it makes the economy grow.
Right.
We've proven that again and again and
but they
again.
The anti-supply-siders really do believe that that's voodoo, don't they?
Well, they do, and one of the reasons they don't like it is they're kind of socialist, do socialist thinking in their hearts, and they'd rather have the government running things.
Right.
If the government raises taxes, it can run more things, and so I think that's a fundamental argument in American politics. Shall we reduce taxes and let individuals have choices, or shall we raise taxes and let government have choices?
But the irony...
That's a central domestic argument, I think, in American politics.
But the irony of all that is, Governor, is that supply-side economics gets more money, ultimately, and longer-term to the government than the other way.
Oh, absolutely. There was we just had the biggest increase in tax receipts this year, I think, that we've had since World War II.
And guess what else? 2 years ago, I was reporting on some states that might have been approaching bankruptcy. Now they're flush with cash again in 2 years.
Oh, everything's growing and everything's doing well. And the flip side of it, though, is... the Republicans in Congress don't seem to be paying very much attention to spending, do they?
They don't act like Republicans, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, they've got spending growing a little more than 5.5% a year. Last president did that was Lyndon Johnson.
Can we say, Governor, is it now pretty much a fact that the big spending party is not the Democrats or the Republicans? It's whichever party is in control?
Well, that's generally true of the Congress, and that's one of the reasons you need a fiscally really strong president, because the president has to say to the Congress, don't do this, or I'm going to veto the bill, hold the spending to that.
We don't have one of those, though, do we?
Well, no, we have the last president who didn't veto a bill in a full term in office was John Quincy Adams. That was a few years ago.
That was about 190 years ago.
That's right. President Bush hasn't vetoed anything.
Are you disappointed in him for that?
Well, I think that's why the Congress is out of control. You know, when you're running a legislature, you got to tell it what the policy should be. Now, it won't always agree with you, but you got to set a strong course so that the congressmen understand what's happening, and a couple of vetoes will go a long way to getting the message to them, and I think the president needs to do that.
Doesn't he need to at least get some notches on the handle of his six shooter, there, Governor?
He really does, and he needs to submit a rescission bill to get rid of some of the spending that he doesn't want. And Congress has to vote up or down on those,
right.
And the president doesn't always win them. But I don't think the president has shown enough strength towards the Congress. I mean, he's got the right economic policies, but he's not strong enough on the legislature and telling them to just stop spending so much.
What this does, Governor, is this gives the naysayers, his opponents, the opportunity to say that the problem with our deficit is because he cut taxes, rather than the truth, which is because they won't cut spending.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, the taxes have given us the tax cuts have given us the growth in the economy, and now I think the most important thing in the next year economically for the president is spending control.
Right. Last night, the House extended the cuts in capital gains and dividends, right?
That's correct.
For two more years.
Right.
That's got to go. Now it's got to go to the Senate, and they got to compromise on it, right?
Yes, and the Senate has a bill that has some other tax matters in it, and I think the compromise is going to come out all right, and I think the tax cuts, or the lower tax rates, we should say, are going to get extended, and that'll keep the economy growing at 4 or 5% for another 2 or 3 years.
Is there anything, how long does the supply-side economics have to work, and work irrefutably, before the liberals, the people on the left who don't like tax cuts, how long is this going to have to work before they sort of leave it alone and say, well, we don't like it, but yeah, it is bringing us more money in?
Well, I think if you had an off-the-record conversation with them, they'd agree with that, and they'd say that's true. But it's a political thing. They've got to oppose it because...
It's one of their planks, isn't it?
It's one of the planks of the Democratic Party is we should have bigger government and less individual choices and more choices made in Washington, and so they have to take that position. But that's an argument we've been having since the 1930s.
Right.
And Reagan won it for a long time. Bush is winning it, as the vote in the House showed last night. So I'm kind of optimistic on where the economy's going.
Are we any closer to a flat tax?
Gosh, wouldn't that be terrific? I mean, we spend...
Weren't you the first person to talk about flat tax?
Because
you were Jack Kemp.
I won't claim to be the first one,
you were one of the first, if not the very first.
It would save us some time. We'll have to come back to that in a second.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask the governor that question again. Are we any closer? And also, last night, Congress, I think the Compromising Committee, reinstated the Patriot Act. Extended it, I should say. We're going to talk about that, too, with Governor Pete DuPont right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to miss a second of our interview opportunity with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. And as you know, Governor's former governor of Delaware and former presidential candidate, and I'm so glad to say he's our friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Governor, for all you've done for this country, I've done it before, but I want to do it again. I want to thank you.
Well, you're way too kind.
No, not at all.
We all work at it.
I saw you on television the other day.
Did you?
And I got to say, you're looking good.
That's the best thing. Maybe I could reproduce that and use it.
you were handsome as always, and so vital, and I really appreciate the fact that you still care about what happens in this country, and that you're still involved, and I just take my hat off to you. You're one of my heroes.
Well, you're very kind. That's my best Christmas present.
Tell us about the NCPA.
Well, the NCPA, as you know, as we've talked before, is a think tank. We work a lot on health care, and health care is just this new drug plan that's available, it's just mind-numbing. And we try to sort through it and see if we can get a way so people can understand it better and can use it better, and we get the right policies. And then we do a lot of work on taxes, and we were talking a minute ago about the flat tax.
Right.
And Steve Forbes' book, I know he's been on your show several times.
Right, he's going to be on in 2 weeks talking about it, too. He's got a new book out.
flat tax revolution, and he's got some terrific statistics in there, and I got a couple of them right in front of me here.
All right.
The tax code's been amended 14,000 times and is 60% longer since Ronald Reagan left the presidency.
Wow.
Now, and that's because it's a tool of the Congress. We spend $6 billion man hours every year filling out tax forms.
Governor, let me correct you on one thing. You called it a tool of Congress. I call it their drug.
Well, that's
it's their drug of choice, isn't it?
It is, and it gets them money to spend on this and that, and it's a good way to do favors to your constituents.
Aren't they addicted to manipulating the code to get those favors and to get that money?
Oh, sure, because you can amend the tax code to help or hurt, help your friends, hurt your enemies. But when we spend 6 billion man-hours a year in this country just filling out forms, think what you could do with 6 billion hours.
I read one time that's more than the time we spend building the automobiles in America.
Oh, that's probably right.
Isn't that something?
And you just say to yourself, wouldn't you just like to fill out a form? Put the numbers in, multiply it by 15%, 17%, whatever the number is. Send the money in and be done with it. And then take those hours and go out and work on Little League or put some more time in on your job or take care of your grandmother. I mean, there's huge things we can do that would help this country rather than fiddling with the tax code every year.
Well, I hope that you and Steve Forbes and others will continue to keep the pressure on this issue. And as long as I'm on the air, you're going to have a place to talk about it. Governor, I want to change subjects just a minute and talk about the Patriot Act. Congress, I think a committee between the Senate and the House, a conferee committee, I think they call them, met last night or yesterday, and they extended the Patriot Act for another term.
That's correct. They agreed on a compromise, and that'll come up for a vote between now and Christmas, maybe even this week.
What do you think about the Patriot Act?
Well, that's pretty important. You know, that was an act that was passed after 9/11 so that America could begin to deal with the problem of terrorism and the idea that people were going to try to set off bombs here in the country. The Islamic radicals would be here. So the Patriot Act put in place the format to deal with all those questions.
It basically pulled a wall of uncommunication, but down between the CIA and the FBI, didn't it?
Yes, and that had been put together, way back. I think that's before the Reagan administration that wall was erected.
It may have been, but it was strengthened in the 90s.
It was strengthened in the 90s, so they've torn that down. They've got, hopefully, the FBI, the CIA, all the intelligence agencies trading information now, and extending that Patriot Act is first important for the security of the country.
Right.
And second, there was some political controversy about it, as there always is with issues in Washington.
I think the people I talk to, Governor, tell me that one of the reasons why we haven't been attacked again has been the fruit of the Patriot Act.
Oh, I think that's right. It's given us federal agents can tap into phones. They can obtain bank records.
And I know the civil liberties issue is a concern, but we're all going to, in order to be safe, we're all going to have to live with a little bit of that, I think.
Governor, I'm sorry, I've
got to wrap it up. We've run out of time. There's always too much to say and not enough time when you join us. Will you come back again real soon?
We'll come back again real soon, and in the meantime, you have a good holiday.
You too. Merry Christmas, Governor.
Merry Christmas.
Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, a great American. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.